Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.
Good morning. Good to be in the Lord's house today. Enjoyed the song service and what Brother Dan had before us. Tomorrow's a special day. It's our 41st anniversary. So I'm excited about that, but that means I'm getting older, and so is Marilyn. I feel a little bit older. I told somebody the other day. Sorry about that. Well, I shouldn't have said that, but I told somebody the other day, I've got a lot of doctors now. I've got a doctor for this, a doctor for that, a heart doctor. I got a knee doctor. I got an audiologist. But anyway, I'm glad to be here today. We've been members of this church since 1983. It's been a great blessing for us. One of the greatest things of our marriage is to have found the Lord Jesus Christ here and to be here in this church. So anyway, we thank you all for letting us be a part of this. Grab your Bibles. I want to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew 13 is a very interesting chapter. This is one of the chapters that has several of Jesus Christ's kingdom parables in it. And it begins with Jesus Christ gathering people together as they stood on the shore, and he was on a ship. And in some of these parables, we read the parable of the sower is in this chapter. He speaks of the kingdom of heaven being something that not everybody can understand, the parables of the kingdom of heaven. Only those who have ears to hear can understand these parables. And in some of them, even the disciples themselves, the apostles, had trouble understanding them. And so the parable of the sower is in here, and he explained this particular parable to them. I guess it may have helped them to understand other parables. You know, he kind of gave them some keys. That way they can say, okay, now I understand how to understand the parables of Jesus Christ. And also in this chapter is the parable of the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed and it growing. And we come on down through here and we find the kingdom being like the world, and where Jesus Christ sowed the good seed in the field, which is his truths. We find the kingdom as being like heaven, like a treasure hid in a field. And so the one I want to speak to you about this morning, though, is found in verse 45 through verse 46, just two verses. And this is the kingdom of the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, this is a parable of the kingdom. Jesus Christ is comparing the kingdom to somebody who is looking for pearls, and they find one that they never expected to find, one of great price. And they go out and sell everything that they have, and they buy this pearl. So first, to understand this, we have to understand something about pearls in that day. So in that day, pearls were of greater value than diamonds and rubies because they were very difficult to obtain. You know, in that day, they didn't have the diving gear they have today. You know, today people can go to great depths with all of the diving gear that is available. Even you can go out with some scuba gear, even if you're inexperienced, and you can go 20 or 30, 40 feet down. But just imagine going 40 feet to obtain a pearl, finding, you know, the oyster shell that the pearl is found in and bringing it up at that kind of a depth, and actually being able to survive some of the things that they had to go down and get those oysters. And before the invention of diving gear, the entire career of a pearl diver might expect to obtain four or five perfectly matched pearls to go into a strand of pearls. And it said, if you go back and read some things about pearls, Marilyn had a magazine one time we were reading about pearls, and it said that back in the 1800s, that the royals of old kept score among themselves, not by their diamonds and gold, but by the number of matched pearls that they had in a necklace. And some of the Russian women that were of royalty in that day, they were the envy of the women in the European courts because they had these long strands of pearls. And so some of them had 200 perfectly matched pearls in some of the necklaces that they had. And so you can imagine how many dives it must have taken for these people to have gone down without equipment to obtain that many pearls. That's why they were so valuable, these strands of pearls. But in 1905, this guy named Kikuchi Mikimoto, he changed the pearl industry forever. And he developed the art of cultured pearls. So he could, you know, grow them kind of like a garden. And so pearls lost their value during that time. But they were of great value back in the day of Jesus Christ. So when this person is writing about a pearl here, he's talking about something that is of very great value, something like maybe a gigantic diamond today or something. So we know if we read this parable and we understand that there is something about the kingdom, one thing that is of great price, what would you say that thing was? Wouldn't you say that it was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? So we have to say that then the kingdom, when you find it, there's something in it that is more value to you than anything else in the kingdom. It's more valuable to you than your pastor, than the other members. Some people might say, well, if they found the kingdom, then they found a bunch of doctrines, which we love the doctrines. They testify and teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are of great value to us. But yet there is something even better than those doctrines. You could know a lot of doctrines. I've known people that were very legalistic, and they knew a lot of doctrines. They could quote the doctrines. They believed the doctrines. But you could tell from their conversation with them, even as members of the church, that they did not have a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people can be members of the church, and the most invaluable thing to them in the church is the traditions of the church. Oh, my goodness. If something were to change, it's one of the traditions, man-made traditions, they could have a meltdown about it. But yet, so far as the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can see that they did not have that close of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to say this morning, in my mind, in my opinion, I believe that this is talking of Jesus Christ is talking about himself, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when he says the kingdom is likened to this, then we understand something that I've said many times from this pulpit. And that is that the kingdom is here, right? There are people who are still looking for the kingdom to come. And they're waiting for Jesus Christ to come back down here. And he's going to set up this kingdom. And he's going to rule and reign down here in this kingdom. And finally, he's going to take the kingdom home with him. But when we read the fact that Jesus Christ said that the kingdom is presently here, and that somebody is looking for something that is like this kingdom, then we have to understand that the kingdom is present. So we hear a lot of, as I mentioned, about the Left Behind series. Somebody asked me about the Left Behind series this week, and I said, well, that's just a fictitious movie. It has nothing to do with the Bible. So the kingdom is with God's people. There's something interesting about the kingdom, though, and that is that it is invisible. We can refer to the kingdom maybe as the church sometimes. The church is something visible. People speak of the visible church and the invisible church. But the kingdom is something that, you know, you cannot see with the natural eye. Jesus said in John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So for us to be able to see the kingdom of God, what can be observed with the eye of faith, I'll say it like that, then you must be a born-again person. He told that to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus was coming to him and they were beginning to talk about the new birth. But when he was speaking to the Pharisees, Jesus said the kingdom of God, and they asked him when the kingdom should come, he said the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, that means with natural sight. I mean, we can observe it here in our own hearts and the things that we experience. But if you're looking for the kingdom, observing with the natural eye, then there's not anything that you can really see much about it unless you can see the visible church and them worshiping. But he told them that it cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So there is a part of the kingdom that dwells within the hearts of God's people. It is where Jesus Christ takes up his residence in our hearts. And apparently, it wasn't in some of them because they did not see the things that Jesus Christ was talking about. So as we get back to our parable, we can see that the kingdom is with us. It's Jesus is telling them that there is something very valuable here about the kingdom. And so the kingdom is like a merchant man who is seeking goodly pearls. Well, one good thing that we see about this person is that he is a seeker. He's looking for something. And I don't know how about your particular experience has been in the church or in your religious experience, but I would hope that you're a person that has been seeking for some things in your own personal life. I know in my life that, as I've mentioned before, I can't remember a time that I did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there I found out in my experience, going to different churches and hearing other people talk, that there were so many different beliefs, so many different religions, Christian religions, that I had a really difficulty trying to sort through all of them and try to understand something. And I did seek a little bit. I went to some different churches, and from my personal experience, I basically had just given up. I'd come to this place in my experience, and I decided, well, no one is really right. And I came to the same conclusion that a lot of people come to, and that is that there is nobody that's really right, and that it really doesn't even matter. Just as long as you're doing something sincerely, then you must be a saved person and you must be going to heaven because you were in a church. It didn't matter which church you went to. It really didn't matter what doctrine they taught. It didn't matter how they worship God or the things that they went through so far as their worship service and their baptisms or their sprinkling or whatever that was. But you know, after I'd given up, I think the Lord must have known in my heart that I really did want to know if there was even a truth to be found. And so, as I've told you before, one night Marilyn and I visited this church, and I heard Brother Bradley get up, and he was preaching. And suddenly, in his message, he was talking about these preachers that were going over to this island to save these ignorant savages, and the ship broke down. And he said, "Do you think those people on that island went to hell because the ship broke down?" And I thought in my mind, there's no way that people would go to hell because they had a bad mechanic on board. So I started thinking about that. And it brought me to this conclusion that Jesus Christ died for me and I had nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, he died for me before I was born. I mean, if you just stop and think through in a logical way, didn't Jesus die before any of y'all were born? Well, if he died for you, he must have known you before you were born, if you just stop and think. And then it started coming to me, and I saw grace. I saw that Christ died for me knowing everything that I would ever do, had done, or would do. And then when I heard the doctrine of election, it just made sense that God chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. I told Marilyn that night, I believe what that preacher said. And she said, I've always believed that. But when you stop and think about it, you see what Christ has done. You see there is a truth. There is something that does make sense in the Christian religion. We don't have to cover over anything in the Bible and say, well, that's something too difficult to understand. Those two things clash, and we just have to say there's things in the Bible that disagree. No, we can say it all agrees. So for me, I was kind of like a seeker, but I was a seeker that had given up. But I was kind of like this guy that I quit looking for this pearl. I didn't know it was even out there. And then when I stumbled upon it, oh my gosh, there it is. There he is. And Jesus Christ became something to me that was more valuable than he had ever been. I had believed in him before. I had believed he died for me before. I'd believed that he had suffered for me before, but not like this. This was a totally different Christ than I had known before in my experience. When Jesus Christ said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," I can identify with that statement because that made me free from a lot of false doctrines that I had heard previously in my life. So he finds this great pearl, something greater than he thought that he would ever find. It's of great price. But you know, you can find this truth and you can find the person of Jesus Christ, and you can find an answer to the questions that you have. But you know, you may not buy this pearl. This guy wants it bad enough that he's going to go and sell everything he has to obtain this pearl. Now, that's where we have to be willing. Now, we have to want it bad enough. We've got to be willing to buy the pearl. And so, to buy this pearl, we're not going to use money. I mean, we can give money to the church, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's who we're ultimately giving to. But you cannot buy the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know some people that have tried to do that. They've given large amounts of money to things and thinking, well, you know, I'm okay with God. Because if I give enough money, then I'm okay with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some people might give money to a church. They never go to the church. But they might give money to the church and thinking that they're all right with the Lord. Well, you're not all right with the Lord. You cannot buy the Lord Jesus Christ with money. What kind of a God would he be if he could be bought with money? I mean, you think of some people that can be bought with money. You don't have much respect for people, do you, that can be bought with money? We wouldn't have much respect for the Lord Jesus Christ if it could be bought with money. So there's some things that we're going to have to sell if we're going to have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one thing we're going to have to sell is we're going to have to sell some false doctrines. If there's been some things that we've heard in our life that we grew up with, and even some good people in our lives that we love, that they believed in, we're going to have to sell those things. We're going to have to get rid of them. I know a lot of people that actually believe the things that we teach at this church, but yet because of their parents or their grandparents, people that they greatly admire and respect, good people, great people, they just can't let go of that stuff because they feel like that it would be a dishonor to their parents, their grandparents, or somebody else that they've known in their life if they were to actually become a member of the Old Baptist Church. And some people, you know, those doctrines are things that just really make them feel comfortable. I've known of people that I've talked to about the doctrine of election that they believe the doctrine of election. I presented it to them according to the scriptures. But yet it made them so uncomfortable because they felt comfortable that what they had done had secured their home in heaven for them to let go of that, then they would lose this little security blanket that they had. But see, what's happening then is rather than having faith in the person and the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're holding on, kind of like the Jews did, to the circumcision and to the laws. Well, another thing that some people are going to have to let go of is some sins in their life. They're going to have to sell those things. You know, we read of people in the Bible that had to sell some of that stuff, right? They had to leave a former life that they had once occupied and that they had to buy the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen overnight. You know, some people can come to our church. They may become members of our church and we see them. And the places that they've walked, the places that they've been, well, they may not immediately become these pristine church members like we are. I'm glad you got that. But anyway, you know, it takes a lot of time for some of these things to fall off of people, you know, until they finally get to this place that they start to see some of the sins. And I think being around God's people, being in the church, that's one of the greatest places you can be. To have your sins reproved, to be around people that love the Lord Jesus Christ, it, you know, causes some inner conviction of our lives. And so there's, you know, some people have to give up some of the sins that they've previously been a part of. You know, apathy is another thing that people have to get rid of. Apathy is something that's so invisible, you don't even know you're apathetic. But you can be apathetic. You can be uninterested, really not interested in the things or the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was a little apathetic when we first joined the church. Some Sundays would come along and it would be deer season. And that was something that was the most... See, I can talk about what bothers guys. You know, I was thinking about this, some of the things that guys like to do. If you want to buy the pearl of great price, you're going to get rid of some hunting and fishing and all that stuff you just love to do. You know, Sunday morning is the day of worship. But I was trying to think about women. I want to step on y'all's toes too this morning and tell y'all some things you're going to have to sell to have the pearl of grace. But I couldn't think of anything. I'm sure there's some stuff, you know. I'm trying to think of shopping or shoes or purses. I don't know what to say about that, but you'll have to, in your own mind, you got to think of something you got to get rid of if you're going to have the pearl of great price. Somebody might say, well, you know, I'm out there in the beautiful scenery of nature. I'm enjoying the Lord and worshiping Him out there under those trees and clouds. No, you're not. You're just worshiping yourself. You know, if you're worshiping the trees and clouds, you're worshiping nature. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't, He set up His church as a place for us to worship Him, to give up some time, to be willing to buy this pearl and to make it our own. So some of these guys got to give up some of this stuff if they're going to buy this pearl. You know, another thing you got to sell is Sunday morning. I've already mentioned that. Sell your Sunday morning wherever else it is and come over here and buy the Church of Jesus Christ. So this guy's been looking for this pearl. And so he finds this pearl of great price. He's excited to have it. And so he's willing to sell everything that he has to buy it. And you can think of maybe some other things in your personal life that you have to get rid of if you're going to have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as the most important thing in your life, the most valuable treasure that you obtain. And we can kid ourselves about it, but, you know, it comes down to our worship of Him. Well, as you can see, this is kind of like an investment, right? This is an investment. And I believe that if we invest ourselves in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the best investment that you can make in your life, in your family. Don't kid yourself. It is an investment that's worth it. Some people don't think it's worth it, or they would have already bought the pearl. But they really don't want to take that chance on that investment. Or you might say they don't want to make that commitment. I remember when I opened up my business in Malvern 50 years ago, I realized that I had to make an investment in that business. And so my dad knew the banker there, and he was kind enough to go with me to the banker and ask him to borrow $50,000 and sign the note for me. Well, that was a lot of money for me back then because I didn't own anything. We didn't have anything, and for 3 years, we still didn't have anything. We still were in the red in our business. But I wanted a business so bad because my uncles had pharmacies and my cousins had pharmacies. I wanted one so bad, I was willing to go to that bank and sit there and borrow $50,000 with a hope in my heart that someday it might pay off. And you have to want it bad enough. There's a lot of people that would like to have a pharmacy. I know a lot of people that they'd like to have their own pharmacy. But none of them were willing to go to the bank, take out the loan, take the risk. Any business you open is a risk. You don't know if you're going to make it or not make it. You don't know how successful it's going to be. And so I wanted to have this business bad enough. I was willing to go in there with my dad and borrow that money. And I want to tell you something I remember to this day. I was so scared when I signed that piece of paper, I could hardly write my name because I felt like that I'm an imposter. I'm borrowing $50,000 and this guy doesn't even know a thing about me, really. He basically took it on my dad's name is what he did. But we got him paid off and everything went that good. But what about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think that's a good investment this morning? Do you? I know some of you do because you've invested. But you know, there's some that haven't. They just don't think it's that much of it. It's worth it. They're afraid, well, you know, I'm going to spend all that time down at the church and I could be out doing things I want to do. I'm making my investment over here. I'm going to tell you something. When it comes a few years down the road, you're going to find out how that investment paid off. There's going to be a lot of blessings that pass over your head if you would have invested in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this person is so in love with Him, that loves this pearl so much, he's willing to take any risk he's going to take. He's going to buy this pearl. He's bound and determined. He goes and sells everything he had. He sold his chariot. He sold his mules, his donkeys, his lambs. He sold his house. He sold everything that he had just to have one pearl. I would say that that was pretty much somebody that was greatly in love with that pearl, wouldn't you? They wanted above all things that's really the way it should be in the church, is that we become members of the church because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really the bottom line. I wouldn't want anybody to become a member of this church that does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you wouldn't either. We want Him to be the most important thing in their life. So it is an investment. We must believe it's worth it. And so I think there's a lot of people that have bought cultured pearls, actually. It wasn't the real Jesus Christ. It was kind of a substitute there, you know. But the real Jesus Christ is what Dan said this morning. He is the Savior of His people. Matthew 1:21 was a text that came to my mind this morning when you said, where is it? A text that shows that Jesus Christ is a great Savior, or successful Savior. I don't know how you said that, but she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. And I believe that he did it upon the cross of Jesus Christ. So this guy is looking for pearls. He's seeking them. He's looking for a lot of smaller pearls. He finds this pearl of great price. He sold all that he had and he bought this pearl. Now we come to the end of the parable. This is going to be a short sermon this morning, but it's a short parable. I know y'all really like our sermons, but this is not going to be one. But anyway, when we were reading about pearls, one of the interesting things about the article that we read was how to preserve a pearl. And so you would think, if you're going to really take good care of a beautiful pearl, that you would put it in a jewelry box and set it in the closet somewhere where nobody can bother it and nothing bad can happen to it. But did you know if you take a real pearl and you put it in a box and you set it in the closet, in a dark closet, and you come back and get it a year later maybe, it's going to be disintegrated. Nothing but dust. A real pearl is something that needs to be kept out in the open. It's something that it actually does better when it's against someone's skin, because the natural oils on your skin help to keep it alive, vibrant, and shiny. And there's a beautiful picture there to me about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. He's not somebody that we're supposed to put in a closet somewhere and say, well, you know, I've got this great pearl, and it's in my closet, back there in that box somewhere in a dark room. That's where he is, my friends, if we are not worshipers of him in his church. He's in this closet back there somewhere. Your light is not shining. You know, we've got him, we love him, but yet we never bring him out. We don't worship him. We don't sing about him. We're not talking about him. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be someone that we wear around our necks, next to our heart, that is on open display every day of our lives. And I believe this is a lot of what Jesus Christ had in this parable of this pearl of great price. I don't know what your experience is with the Lord Jesus Christ, but I hope that you found him. I hope that you found him in that special way, that you see him as your all in all, that he has the preeminence in all things in your life.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.